is not as good as it sounded. We got there and it was upper 80s, and we were both in shirts that were warm because we had to get on the plane early in the morning. But by the morning, it was 48 degrees and never climbed above 50, I think, the time we were there after that point. So we didn't miss anything, and you didn't get any special weather until Thanksgiving when we had a little warm-up here. But it's good to be home, as it always is, and we're glad that you're here this morning. Part of what I saw while we were in Florida was this story, and probably you've seen it as well. It was breaking last week, and it was about these three people, particularly this homeless person that you see here in the red. And you might remember some months back, there was this incredible heartwarming story about this homeless man that gave this woman his last $20 when she broke down, ran out of gas on the side of the road. And so he gave her $20, and she went and got the car filled up with gas, and it was an incredible story, made national news, how wonderful it was. And so they decided to start a GoFundMe page to be able to help this homeless man. And so all the way across the country, all of these websites lit up, Facebook and everything else, leading to the GoFundMe page where this man was going to be taken care of, and they were going to provide for his needs. And you might remember seeing even this picture of it was popular at that time about this Good Samaritan and all the good that this couple was doing for this man. Well, the problem was it was a fraud. It was a hoax. It was not true. And they might have actually got by with it, except for the fact that when the money came flooding in, some $400,000 ultimately that was given on the GoFundMe page to help this homeless man, when the money was divided up among the three of these individuals, the homeless man didn't feel like he got his fair share. He only got somewhere around $75,000, as I remember. And so he took this court. This shows you the stupidity of criminals. They took this to court to sue the other couple to get his fair share. Well, you can imagine that didn't go very well either, and it made the national news accordingly. And made this special Facebook page that reports on some of this stuff, Go Fraud Me, made the top of their list for last week of these kind of incidents around the country. You don't know how often this stuff happens. In fact, it's gotten to be a criminal case altogether, of case after case, of individuals that are using GoFundMe accounts and other kind of charities to raise money for fraud. You might remember, although I didn't remember, this story about this little boy that made the national news. Also, he was beat up, supposedly, by some bullies in his apartment complex. And so one of the neighbors started this GoFundMe page and actually raised $45,000 to help this little boy who was beat up by these bullies. And the cause of bullying rose to the top of the surface, and people all over the country gave to this, until the police did a little investigation, and they said it just didn't quite all ring true. And at the bottom line, ultimately what was discovered, the boy had fallen off of a balcony and hurt himself, and thus the injuries came from that. And somehow or another, the mom and the neighbor colluded together to make some money out of this deal and claim that he was bullied. They're still trying to figure out, last I was able to find out, what they actually did with the $45,000. Or this woman, and this stuff goes on and on and on the internet, and you and I read these stories, and it yanks our chains, and we get emotional about it, and we might even write a check or donate through it. This Colorado woman faked bone cancer and ultimately stole somewhere around $200,000 from her friends and their friends, who felt bad for her and the rising medical bills and gave money. The problem was, it too was a fraud. It was not actually true. Not very far from here, in fact about an hour and 45 minutes from here, there was a case in a Wisconsin church where the treasurer stole $190,000 from the church over the course of 10 years. Ultimately, what they found in the Methodist Church, they have apportionments where they have to pay their denomination a certain amount per year to stay a Methodist church. And finally, when the denomination was audited, they discovered that this church hadn't been paying their apportionments. And so then the investigation took place, and I see James over here nodding his head, who just took the CPA first exam yesterday. This stuff is everywhere. This stuff is everywhere. What actually amazes me is it doesn't happen in more churches than it does, or at least as many as are found out. But how we handle our money is important. We're in this second sermon of a three-part sermon on God's money and what we do with it. And incidentally, let me say thank you to you last week. Tim, was it, where's Tim at? $880, I think, that came in somewhere around that on benevolence last Sunday. We were completely empty, and so your generosity, thank you for that gift, because that will help us help some families during this Christmas season. But we've been talking about what God says about money. And next week, Clint will preach the last sermon, and as I've told you already, it's the really good sermon in this passage of Scripture. But today is an important passage. It maybe isn't quite as interesting to most of us, but it's about accountability. How do we handle God's money? Because literally as a church, we ought to be the most careful about handling God's money, even more careful than what we think in the culture about how fraud takes place at large. Because it bears an image of who Christ is, and it speaks to who we are if we shame the name of Christ by not handling His money well. Last week we talked about a number of different things out of the first part of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We talked about the fact that when we give, it starts with God's grace. Secondly, it's despite our circumstances, everybody can give something. Give enthusiastically.